I'm going to say some things that I don't get a chance to say normally. So I'm going to start off with why does faith-based mentoring do what we do? And why do we show up on Monday nights? Why do we provide food? Why do we show up in court? And the other things that we do outside of this, it's because we love you. And, you know, that's an interesting thing to say, and it's easy thing to say. But when I say I love someone, it means that I will sacrifice my needs, put your needs above my needs at times. So we'll make sacrifices for you. There's more important, fun things that we can all be doing instead of being here. But we're here because I think God wants us here. And so, and it's good to do that. We believe God put us here to help each other. But he's made a much greater sacrifice than you and I will ever make. And so our mission, I don't know if you see it, it's on the website. It says Faith-Based Mentoring Ministries assists primarily ex-offenders in their efforts to become productive members of society and to become disciples of Jesus Christ. We want you to be followers of Jesus Christ who help other people. Plain and simple. And we want to pass this on to you and have you run with it. And so, but it takes time. So we love you and hate to see you shackled by your past when you have so much God-given potential. We hate to see you believe the lies about yourself and to see the consequences of not having the skills and experience to make decisions using God's freely available wisdom. But we also like to see you growing and changing and helping others. And so we see both of that. I'm not going to name names, but as I was putting this together, just names came to mind of people who are sitting right where you're sitting and enthusiastic and yet struggling. And life is a struggle. And many of them aren't here on earth anymore. They're back in prison, some in jail, some in prison, and some out on the streets. And it breaks our hearts. Because we love them and we know that seeing you sober and seeing you active in your recovery is beautiful, and seeing you grabbed by the streets and the drugs and all of that past is just bad for all of us. And so that's what the enemy wants for you, but God has a whole different plan for you. And so we just want to encourage you right now to just continue fighting the fight. And it is a fight. It is a true fight. And do what you know and not necessarily what you feel. So I just wanted to, I haven't gotten a chance to say that. So I wanted to say that. So tonight we're going to study a familiar Bible story to provide some help when you face challenges in life. And I love Bible stories. And they're really good, and they can, everything in the Bible is helpful. And so there's a lot of teaching, but then there's a lot of stories where we can learn from people and their experiences, and we can learn about God, we can learn about ourselves, and we don't have to make some of the same mistakes. So when I was growing up, I read a lot of Bible stories, and I got, at first they were read to me, and then when I got to be able to read, I read them, and I learned a lot. One example of the lesson I learned was through Bible stories is from Job. And you may be familiar with that. I won't go into it. But I learned that God isn't focused on making me feel good because it isn't about me. And everything is reconciled in the end, sometimes on earth, but always in heaven. And if you think life and God is all about me, if I think life is all about God making me feel good, I'm going to be disappointed. So that Bible story teaches me that as you read the story of Job. Another example is the story of Joseph, and it taught me that God uses a variety of challenges and situations to transform people and to take Joseph from who he was to the leader of Egypt is amazing. And he used a lot of tough, difficult experience where Joseph thought things were hopeless, unfair, and just bad. And he saw no future in it. And so, but God was there all the time. And so it helps me remember sometimes when I'm in that situation. So tonight we're going to cover a familiar story of David and Goliath. And so we want to learn how we can do things different and because of this story. And we're going to learn that if we work at something over time, we can change for good, just like we can work at bad things over time and change for bad. So just quickly to go over the main characters, David, probably 16 to 19 years old at this time. So we don't really know how old he was, but you can kind of put the pieces together. He was the youngest of 8 brothers. He spent most of his time watching sheep by himself, which is an undesirable job. That's not that people were saying, let me watch the sheep. No, the people who, the youngest, got to watch the sheep. By this time, he had been anointed by Samuel to be king of Israel, which is weird. He's young, and yet he's still watching sheep. And he's a talented musician, and given the songs or psalms that he's written, he probably spends a lot of time talking and living a life with God. So if you look at his psalms, the things, it tells you about what kind of person he was like. The other main guy is Goliath, a huge warrior from the people called the Philistines, which were terrible enemies of Israel, and that's David's country is Israel. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall. Okay, I brought this yardstick. I'm 6 foot tall. I'm going to stick this on my head. That makes me 9 feet tall. Not 9 feet 9 inches tall, but 9 feet tall. Go another 9 inches and you're going to hit this. Can you imagine a man this tall, all the way up there, with a helmet on, with a breastplate on, with body armor on, with a huge sword, with things to cover his legs, with a guy walking in front of him holding a shield? How in the world would you defeat somebody like that? No, just massive and just huge, and not just tall and skinny, but tall and big. And I was hoping Lyle was going to be here. He's down in Indianapolis, and so I'm not going to do it, but I'll just say it. I was going to bring Mary up here and Lyle and kind of make the comparison and about Lyle, Mary taking out Lyle. And but then I thought, you know, I've seen Mary fight a little bit, and I don't know, maybe
take people out with
exactly. But anyway, Goliath was huge, and just invincible. And so just to kind of, I wish I had the picture. Anybody been down 30 toward Chicago, Triton or something? There's a church on the left-hand side that has a picture of a statue of Goliath in their window. Anybody seen that? If you're ever going to Chicago on 30 past Plymouth, on the left-hand side, you'll see this church, and there's a big statue of Goliath. You can kind of see he's probably 9 foot tall. But anyway, he had a helmet, body armor, huge spear, huge sword, leg armor. He was so big and so decked out, there seemed to be no way to defeat him. And oh, by the way, he was very good at trash talking. And so, but he was one scary looking giant. So for time purposes, I'm just going to summarize this. If you want to read this story, and I think you should, 1 Samuel 17. It's just in that chapter. There's 50 some verses. The funny thing is, and just to remind you of this, anybody who knows anything about the story of David and Goliath, it's right there. If you read that, you know as much as anybody in the world about David and Goliath, because that's the only source we have of the story. And so you can be an expert at David and Goliath by just reading that. So just a reminder of that. So quickly to go through the story, David was tending sheep, and his dad Jesse asked him to bring food to his 3 brothers, older brothers who were in Saul's army. He was there to report on how they were doing. He went there, and the Philistines were camped on one side of a valley, and the Israelites were camped on the other side of the valley, and so with the valley in between. So David went there. While they were thinking about going to battle, Goliath would come down into the valley and challenge any Israelite to fight him, and whoever won, the other side would become their slaves, or so he said. This had been going on twice a day for 40 days, and the Israelite army was scared, so no one fought Goliath. When David arrived, Goliath was making his twice daily trash-talking speech, and David asked, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" Wow, that was quite a contrast to how the soldiers in Saul's army reacted, because they were terrified. And so we'll talk more about this. David's older brother ridicules David for speaking up. David agrees to fight Goliath. He goes to King Saul. King Saul has said that whoever kills Goliath gets his daughter for a wife and his family never has to pay taxes. So there's a nice reward. David tells Saul and the others that when tending sheep, God has helped him kill a lion and a bear, and he'll kill Goliath the same way. Saul tries to put his armor on David, but it's way too big and would make it more difficult to fight. David picks up 5 smooth stones from the stream and puts them in a bag. He goes out to meet Goliath. Goliath makes fun of him and says he'll kill David. David says, and this is where I put this, the quote, the scripture verse, "You come to me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." Wow. 16 to 19 year old kid, probably a little skinny, whatever, 9 feet tall. And he's not hesitating. There's no, this, that's amazing. So as they come together, David took out a stone and used his slingshot to hit Goliath in the forehead, which knocked Goliath face down. David went and took Goliath's big sword and cut off his head. Wow. So the most amazing thing to me is the question about how did David get this attitude and perspective of Goliath when everyone else was extremely frightened? How did he become that? And that just amazes me. So I'd like to pursue that with you. We all know the end, so we know he wasn't overconfident and just acting tough. He truly trusted God, which was the right thing to do. What did David know that everyone else didn't? How can I or how can we have an attitude like David when it comes to facing our challenges in life instead of being extremely frightened? Do you want to have David's attitude and perspective, or are you okay with how you are? And that's an important question, because if we want to change, we have to have a desire to change. But I want to show you that there's an opportunity for you. Candidly, I want to be in, like David in this case. I really do. So let's talk about how to handle problems in life using the problem of Goliath as an example. The first thing I notice is that David looks at this problem differently than anyone else in the story. Everyone, including Goliath, thinks Goliath is undefeatable. The Israelites run and hide. King Saul won't fight him, even though we are told King Saul is head and shoulders in height above others. So how does David look at Goliath? Ha, no big deal, right? How can he do this? What difference does how you look at problems affect how you deal with them? And that's an important question. How you look at problems affects how you deal with them. Let's think about some problems and contrast ways of looking at it. And this is kind of simple, but let's say I'm just using this as an example. I lost my job and I can't pay my rent. I'm going to be homeless. I don't know what I'm going to do. Versus, I don't understand why I lost my job, but I'll trust Jesus and seek his guidance for what to do, and I'll follow his guidance. God has always been faithful before. What a big difference. Same situation. No difference in situation. Just a different way of looking at it. Here's another one.
Faith.
Huh?
Faith.
It is faith. Yep. Faith. Good. Yep. And we'll talk about how to grow that faith. Yep. Good, Ring. So here's another one. My girlfriend left me and my heart is broken. No one will ever love me again. I don't know how I can go on living. Or boyfriend. Versus, I don't understand why my girlfriend left me. Maybe she wasn't the right one for me. My happiness in life doesn't depend on a girl loving me. I will trust Jesus and seek his guidance. Again, same situation, different way of looking at it. How do we get there? We'll talk about that. Here's the last one, using Goliath. Goliath is so big and so strong, no man can win against him. He's going to kill us all. Versus, Goliath sure is big, but God is bigger. God created everything. He keeps things going. He parted the Red Sea. He moves kingdoms. I don't know how, but I know God can defeat Goliath. Again, same situation, different way of looking at it. So in these examples, did the circumstances change? Nope. How we look at problems make a huge difference, but we know we can't magically change our perspective. How do we see things from a godly perspective like David did? We'll talk about that. So we don't want to change when we... to just say things differently. So we can, you know, you can go to the positive thing. Just tell yourself the right things and stuff. And that's okay. And that, you know, it's good not to tell yourself bad stuff. But what we're looking for here is a true heart change, a true understanding of a perspective, and it's not something that you can just say something different, do different self-talk. It's deeper than that. So, how did David get the attitude he had in regard to trusting God? He's lucky, just lucky, right? No. So I'm just going to use this example. That's like saying Jose, and Jose's not here, he's in Ohio, but anybody seen Jose's biceps? Woo. He's strong. And just in lots of areas, because he's worked. And so you can say, that's like saying Jose is lucky because he's so physically strong. And he's lucky because he has his own business. It's not luck. So is it luck or preparation? What did Jose do to prepare to be physically strong? Anybody know what Jose does?
Goes
to the gym consistently. Yep, and hurts himself. It hurts to do that and to consistently do that. And he hangs out with people to do that. How did Jose get his own business? Anybody know?
Hard work.
Started small. Did you know that Jose had his trucks lost, wrecked, and broken down, and almost lost his business? And so there's a lot of hard work that went into that, and he's grown it and done the right things. So how did David prepare to have a godly attitude based on the truth of God? What do you think he did when he was watching sheep? Do you think he talked with God? Did he seek to know more about God? Did he live life with God's help? So I'm going to read a psalm to you, one of my favorite parts of psalm. It's Psalm 119, 9 through 16. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You've probably heard that. I praise you, O God. Teach me your decrees. I have recited all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. You know who wrote this?
David.
Yep. Is that you? is that how you, what flows from you? I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. It makes a difference when David has invested and it's become him, and the way it's changed. So David wrote this psalm. It's my favorite because it makes me want to be like the writer and makes me want to think, how can I have this same attitude that they have? Because I want to look at life like that. I want to have a hunger and thirst for God like he does. And how do you, if you had this perspective, how would it change things? Sarah? Laws, rules. Yep, good question. And that's interesting with this psalm. If you read Psalm 119, it uses a lot of precepts, decrees, commands, all these regulations, and they're all the same. They're the laws and rules of God. So, great question. Lee.
How many psalms did David write?
I'm not sure. I forget that he wrote a lot of them. They have them, and it's. I could look it up on Google real quick.
Didn't they sing the songs, whatever it is, going up the mountain?
Yep.
But I heard this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to the mountain because you will get this. Yeah, a bunch of them had to stay out here. Only Moses.
Yep.
Everyone could go to the mountain.
Yep. So that was probably before the Psalms, but they may have talked about it in the Psalms.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Good. Thank you. So. So let's go back to when David first saw the lion. I bet he was scared. Still young and out there by himself, and here's this lion that he's not familiar with and stuff. And if he wasn't trusting God, he might have run. I would have run. It's a lion. But he didn't run. So what if he ran from the lion? Do you think he would have also run from the bear? If you run from the lion, you'll probably run from the bear. And if he ran from the lion and he ran from the bear, he wouldn't have fought Goliath. So God uses our experiences and our tough experiences and builds on them over time to prepare us for other experiences. But we have to be faithful in the little stuff for him to build up the big stuff. And so it's just good to be, to remember that it's a process, and it's a moment by moment. Be faithful in the moment, because we don't all, you know, David wouldn't have understood. I got to kill this lion so I can kill the bear so I can kill Goliath. No, God doesn't do that for whatever reason. But he puts things in our path and gives us the strength and the capability if we depend on him to do that. So faith is a process of experiences and not some instant transformation. And how does one begin to grow their faith? And so I have some ideas. How about reading and studying the Bible and applying what it says to obey in your life, using the Bible to seek God? And the Bible can help us know God better. And it's difficult to do and not easy. How about praying? How about spending time with God? How about sharing, realizing that the presence of God is right there? And as you go through life, he can help you as you face the challenges. You know, as relationship issues, feelings, and everything. God, I'm just feeling horrible. I can't stand this. Help me, please. And as you do that more and build up that process, just like building a relationship with anybody on earth, you have to spend time with them to grow that relationship. And then, because these are the three things in my life, and so I put them in here, and I'm speculating. I'm pretty sure David read his word and wanted it, and I'm pretty sure he prayed. The third one I have is hang out with people who are also seeking to grow in their love and knowledge and faith in God, because you can't do this by yourself. And people, April.
Now, I'm not trying to be funny, y'all, but Tyler Perry is an extremely God-fearing man. We all know Tyler Perry. But if you go on Google or YouTube, it's called Let Them Go. It's like a 9-minute message about how if people want to leave you or hurt you or you need to leave them, it's a 9-minute message about just let them go. Don't hold on to them. You can't make them love you. You don't bother getting back at them. But it's a wonderful 9-minute blessing. Of course, Medea's doing it. But Tyler Perry is an ordained minister, but it's a wonderful 9-minute message. It's called Let Them Go.
Okay. Thank you. Good. So yeah, there's lots of good resources out there. Okay. And so yep, and that helps when you're hanging out with people. You can share those resources and encourage each other. So there are lots of verses that we're familiar with. I'm just going to read a couple. I think we're all familiar with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So I'll just use that. Just what happens if you get up in the morning and meditate on that and think, how can I do that? How does that look like in my life? That'll change your life. And it'll change your perspective, because it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that means all your heart and all your struggles and all your challenges. And it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying, hey, you guys are idiots. You should just do this and it's all. No, it's hard. It's a process, and you have to apply it to your life. But you have to start that process to get the benefits from it. There's lots of other verses that you can do and take a look at. And for time, I'm going to keep moving on this. Psalm 119, which we read, I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Wake up in the morning on that passage and say, how do I make that me? How do I? And if you want to change, and it's hard to want to change, but these things will change your life. Is it fair or reasonable to expect to be like David or other mature Christians when you don't invest in the process? No. Is it fair to say, I want to look like Jose, but I'm not going to lift weights? It just doesn't work. We were talking on the car here. I don't know how to get people, because we are such an instant society. We are in the moment. And unfortunately for addicts and people in the courts, I was joking with my wife that they all go to this school and graduate with honors about lying and other things, as far as being in the moment and telling, you know, making the moment be a certain way. And but this is investing. This is doing the right thing that you don't want to do so you can benefit later. And so in this, so if you want to change, if you want to be like David, you have to invest. You have to do this process just like anything else. It's like, I want to learn how to play the piano, but I don't want to practice. It just doesn't work that way from a spiritual standpoint and from another life standpoint. The truth sets us free. We say we believe, but we don't really. There's a story about a tightrope walker named Walinda, and he was getting ready to walk a wheelbarrow across a waterfall. And he asked if people believed he could do it, and many said yes. And he then asked, if that's true, which one will get in the wheelbarrow? So I just, you know, it's easy to get people to shake their heads. Yeah, I need to do this. I need to do this. But shaking your head and whatever and actually doing it is some different things. So I'm going to I'm going to give you some ideas. Amazing what you can get on Amazon. This is a slingshot, a shepherd's slingshot. So this is something similar to what David used. Put a rock in here, spin it around, and let one end of it go. And so I tried to practice this a little bit. They said if you use marshmallows, it's a good thing to practice. So I may work on that a little bit more. But my point is, how many believe with this slingshot that they can kill a Goliath with God's help? And I don't want your hands because I'm going to ridicule you. No, I'm just kidding. So if anybody raised their hand, and I'm not really asking, let's just use this as an example. Good, I have a Goliath here, and you guys can fight to the death. Here's your slingshot. There's no way, because you're not prepared. And so you could get good at this, and I could get good at this if I practiced. And and there's no way I could kill Goliath even if I practiced without God's help. And so it's important to know that God didn't need David to do this. God could have used a blind, lame man to kill Goliath. And so God uses us, but doesn't need us. And so it's important to realize that. And it's not so important what we do as our relationship with God. And so you can focus on a ministry, you can focus on service, you can focus on all of that. And I say, focus on your relationship with God. Spend time with Him, live your life with Him, and the ministry stuff will take care of itself. Because you can be good and focus on ministry, but if you don't focus on your relationship with God, it doesn't matter. So how do we do this? We talked about preparation, and it's really practical, and there's nothing magic about it. And so I'll kind of go through these again. And I don't believe that anybody can grow in their relationship with God without doing these three things: reading, studying, understanding the Bible. And we'll help you do that. If it's hard to start, here's the Bible, read it. Where do you start? What does it mean? How does it all fit together? Where's this? Where's that? But the people who know that are people who have spent time with it. And the more time you spend with it, the clearer and the easier it gets. It's kind of like just starting something. It begins to become clear. April.
I started with Proverbs.
Yep. And that's great place. And you can read one day, and different people have started different ways. Some people say read First John, or not First John, but just read John, just read the Gospels. We have ways. And so, but reading the Bible is important. There's kind of a joke that says reading the Bible is the only book that the author shows up. And so the reading the Bible is important. Spending time in prayer is important. Spending time with God, living life with God, struggling with God, praying, asking Him to help you through the day, ask Him to help show you what He wants you to work on. And to help you to do that, and then hang out with people, and I kind of joke about this, hang out with people who love Jesus more than you do. And it's important. You can't do it by yourself. We are our own worst enemies. So to kind of wrap this up, I want to just kind of go back and say, David had this amazing perspective, and it was a true perspective. He knew that God could take care of Goliath. And so some of your challenges, whether it's addiction, family issues, bad relationships, loneliness, old habits, unhealthy reactions, anxiety, unforgiveness, pain from trauma, emotional struggles, regrets, guilt and shame, brokenness, and much more. These are horrible, and they're real, and they are true challenges. Just like Goliath is a challenge. But God can take care of those, and God can prepare you to help him work together with you to bring healing. And so, but you have to, there's some things. First of all, you have to become a Christian. You have to realize you're a sinner and that he died for your sins and that you do deserve eternal punishment, and realize and believe that he paid the price for your sins. And so you're forgiven. And all of that guilt, there is no condemnation. And you may feel condemned, and that's what God can work through. But if you become a Christian and start that process to grow in your relationship with God, he will be there to help you face the challenges of your life in a healthy way. Will it be easy? Absolutely not. Dr. Mullinex says, if you don't like hard, look what easy got you. And so it is difficult, but it's important to pay the price, to join with other people to do this. And it'll bring you the best life here and the best life in the future. And you can be like David, and when you see the Goliaths, they'll still be big. David didn't say, "Ha, God's got this, I don't need stones." He went and picked up the stones. He flung the slingshot. He did the work, but he trusted God and used God's power. So I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with hope. You may not have hope, but there is hope. God has a plan and a way for you to be delivered. He loves you so much that he put this plan in place. And so with that, I'm going to just leave. I know we're out of time, so I'm going to leave just a minute or two for you of silence to let you talk to God right now. And discuss with him a little bit of what goes on, and I would encourage you to keep that discussion going, and then I'll close in prayer. So we'll bow our heads. Father, thank you for your love. We may not feel your love. There may be lots of lies that we believe and struggle with about you and ourselves and life. And I just pray you'll break through those. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the example of David for our lives. And I just pray for each person here that you will help break through their past, that you will give them hope, that they will feel your love, that they will see a way that they can grow toward you. And I pray each person here will make a decision to repent, to turn from their way to your way, and to surrender their life to you, and to seek your guidance and to get to know you better and to live for you wholeheartedly, so they can have this great relationship with you here on earth and for eternity, and that they can be your hands and feet here on earth. I thank you for faith-based mentoring, and I thank you so much for each person here and for tonight. Amen.